from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Things have to change for these Kansas City Chiefs, and today we're going to talk about the big one that has to happen. We're going to run down all the options that we currently see as scenarios that could work for the trade of Alex Smith. There's a couple of them. We've touched on several, hinted at some others, and we're just going to walk through them today. Before we do that, a little bit of news dropped. And I want to ask you guys, go ahead and get subscribed if you're not. There's iTunes, there's Stitcher, there's Megaphone, there's Google Play. We're available everywhere. Tell your friends about it. We want to get this conversation expanded for the draft season because there's a lot that's going to go on. So hit us with all of your comments at Locked On Chiefs on Twitter. You can use that hashtag Locked On Chiefs mailbag as well. We're going to run through those. We're going to do those more often this offseason than we have recently. So hit that as well. What we found out, just a little snippet, late on Wednesday afternoon, via our pal Therese Paler, who hopefully we'll have a session with here in the next couple of weeks. I know he's down at the Senior Bowl, and that's where this news broke, after he spoke to Andy Reid at the Senior Bowl. And it is probably about as official as it's going to get, coming from Andy Reid through Therese, that Bob Sutton's not going anywhere. He is going to be the DC in 2018, and there's not going to be that change to a more aggressive attacking defense. It's going to be more of the same old bend, don't break, don't put pressure on the quarterback, don't get creative with blitzing or anything that might actually lead to you taking a risk. It's going to lead to a lot more off man coverage, soft man coverage. Maybe we'll see one or two jams next season. Who knows? But the overall content is going to be the same. So prepare yourself for that. That puts the onus back on the players and finding more talent for the pass rush. And that's going to be a key to this offseason. That's the only news that's worth bearing today. So we're going to get into it right away. Thank you guys for listening. And here's our discussion all about the Alex Smith trade. Well, before we get to the topic of the day, I want to talk just a little bit about initial impressions at the Senior Bowl. Just a couple of notes that I made from the first day. First and foremost, man, this guy Hernandez out of UTEP is big, fast, and man, he is nasty. For all the press that Quentin Nelson's got, Will Hernandez is going to be a guard that could really fit into a road grader type role. Definitely not as quite as agile as you would like for a left guard, but supposedly he moves very, very well. And I haven't seen him outside on any screens or anything in Senior Bowl practices yet, but I know that's coming. So I'll keep you guys all updated on that. A couple other standouts. Alex Kappa stood out early in practice. He's listed as a tackle, but you never know what they're going to end up doing with him. Both the kids from Washington State showed up. First at the Shrine game was Cody O'Connell. I thought he did pretty good. And then his partner in crime, Cole Madison, actually had a pretty good day the first day of practice at the Senior Bowl. So we'll see how they come along. A couple of options farther down the list the Chiefs might be in the position to take, depending on how they evaluate their guard position. And guard position is one that I think we need to talk about in the bigger scope of things. Folks, it's Thursday and we were going to have Seth on, but he's currently throwing things at his laptop as it attempts to do some kind of update. He cannot stop. So we are going to be without him. Hopefully he rejoins us here quickly, either tomorrow or next week, and we'll get back to normal. But one of the things we were going to talk about is this concept of trading Alex Smith. And you know, we talked earlier about the Jaguars and their possible need. Now, I think I want to return to what we were talking about. John Dorsey being in Cleveland, their obvious need. Saw something on Twitter from a reputable source that there are folks interested in trading possibly for DeShone Kizer. So, I don't know, man. If you're ready and you think you can get Alex Smith, and you can get out of the Kizer pick, if you're John Dorsey, who I think really the whole thing is his comment about real players is probably aimed at the quarterback. Do you try to move DeShone Kizer?
Well, I think the thought there is that Kizer is not going to be a big value to them, considering they're probably going to go quarterback number one overall, or at the very latest, number four overall. So that would be my guess as to what they're thinking and what they're looking at.
Well, and if this report is correct and that some value him at a fourth round pick, yes, that's a terrible turnaround from where you had to pick him last season. But if you're John Dorsey and you don't agree with what the former regime did and you don't think he's a quote unquote real player, and that's a lot of what I'm basing my thing on, is that John Dorsey just doesn't seem to like what the former regime did. If you can get a fourth for him for a guy that might have been a throwaway, I think that's something they got to look at doing.
No, absolutely. And I mean, that brings back picks that John Dorsey is going to always like. So I think that's going to be a move that they're going to make if he really doesn't think that he's going to be a piece of their future. I mean, obviously, we sit here right now and we think that they're going to go quarterback, and I can't imagine that they go somewhere else. Dorsey didn't have this opportunity in Kansas City in 2013 because there was nobody there to go and take.
And that's a good point.
So I just can't imagine that he would be the type that would go away from it now that he has the opportunity.
Well, and here's another wrinkle that I just saw come across. Folks, as we're recording this, we're a little bit early this week, our normal thing with Seth. It looks like old Todd Haley's going to get himself a job as the offensive coordinator in Cleveland. And I know that he would prefer to go with the veteran because of his time in Kansas City, what he had to deal with playing Tyler Palko, was it? I can't remember the guy's name correctly. I have a feeling that if Hugh's there and Haley's there, a vet looks to be more and more the direction they want to go. And I have to think that John Dorsey would be on top of that one. And so if they're going to move Kizer and you have Todd Haley, like they're reporting tonight, and again, this is initial reports. I can't confirm any of that, but that's where it stands right now. I have to think that this makes their interest in Alex Smith go up.
It could. And the other thing about Todd Haley is, well, actually, the other thing I saw about this whole scenario is that they're also looking at Hugh Jackson would step away and let him be the one calling the plays. So it's not just OC in name. It's actual OC in abilities or in responsibilities as well.
Well, as long as they don't have any, you know, country bars that he can go get thrown on his butt, I think he'll be okay, but it is Cleveland. Anyway. I segue a little bit there. Sorry, folks. And before we go any further, I want to remind you, we're going to have Seth on tomorrow, a day later, because we had some technical problems earlier in the week. So back to this concept, and this is the meat of what I wanted to talk about, because I'm trying to put together a scenario that if I'm Brett Veach, how do I try to address the Alex Smith debacle? You got to play like you still need him. You know you don't, but you got to try to get value for him. And I think
let's back up here for just a second. We're sure. I know where I sit on this. I want you to get this out there because I talked about this on Twitter actually Tuesday night. As far as I'm concerned, my comment on Twitter, and this is how I've felt for a long time, is that Patrick Mahomes starting next year plus the cap space available that you would get from Alex Smith is better than having Alex Smith in a Chiefs uniform next year. And that doesn't even include the draft picks that you would get for Smith.
I probably agree with you. I would put one small asterisk is that, you know, what we saw of Patrick Mahomes against the some half backup squad that Denver put out there in the last game of the season, I don't know that's necessarily representative of what he's going to see. Maybe they're a bit more concerned about him winning game after game to get to 10 or 12 wins like Alex Smith has. I think that might be a little bit of concern, but I think the bigger concern is if you're still of the opinion, if you're Brett Veach and Andy Reid and you still feel like they made some mistakes, they still have the talent to get to the next level, to get to a division championship game or a Super Bowl, especially after having watched Nick Foles and Doug Peterson go to a Super Bowl, maybe you think, I have to get so much value for Alex. If I don't get it, maybe I'm better off just keeping him. And that's the only wrinkle that I can see where maybe the Chiefs organization isn't as keen to go forward with moving Alex Smith along. But I don't see that right now. Do you?
I just can't see with what Mahomes showed against the Broncos. And yes, I understand it was a meaningless game in a lot of ways for both teams, but what he showed against the Broncos and what this team has lacked. And I guess I will put a caveat on my statement from earlier that I'm not just looking at next year. My opinion is not based on just next year. My opinion is based on, I think the Chiefs' future is brighter with Patrick Mahomes in 18 and in the future, because if he doesn't get them to where they want to go next year, I think he has a great opportunity to get them there in 2019. But you're not going to get that if you don't have him starting and playing.
Right. Yeah. And that's a given. I'm just not sure what the mindset is, or honestly what the value threshold is for them. Cause I agree. You don't want to get to the point where you're keeping him because you can't get enough draft picks, but I don't foresee that happening, especially with Brett Veach having mentored underneath John Dorsey and having some kind of relationship. Maybe Dorsey's relationship ended poorly enough with Clark Hunt or with Andy, that maybe he's not open to trading. I don't know. But
well, and that's certainly possible, but at the same time, with the QB position the way it is in the NFL, I don't think that that's going to be an issue. I think you're going to find somebody that's going to give up the value.
I agree. And the thing that I'm going to say is that I have a feeling that because he's seen what Alex Smith did for this organization, and that the fact that he's older and that Dorsey has a number one and a number four, that he can get a quarterback of the future, that he can look to do the same thing that he was looking to do with Mahomes while he thought he was going to remain in Kansas City. So it looks like a very similar scenario to me. And my only question is, and this is why I'm putting this together, is if you are Cleveland and you know John Dorsey wants to keep his draft picks, he doesn't want to give a ton up. Maybe there's another way to compensate the Chiefs for Alex Smith that can work. And what I come back to...
You were just all about this.
I am. You know, like I said, I'm trying to picture what am I trying to accomplish if I'm Brett Veach? And that is, I'm keying in on how John Dorsey reacted to the roster when he first became a GM in Cleveland, and that his comments about not having real players and having a roster that he has to rework significantly. I think that bodes... interestingly for the Chiefs, because there's one player in particular that I liked coming out of school. He was slow to start. They did extend him, but he's a guy that if John Dorsey doesn't like the way he plays or Todd Haley doesn't like the way he plays, could be a guy that they might look to move on from. And Joel Bitonio is an elite capable left guard in a zone system. That's not necessarily what the Cleveland Browns are going to do going forward. I don't know what they're going to do. I know they've had some mix. They've played some zone in the past. Is that what they're going to do next season? I have no concept. But if I'm Brett Veach, I'm trying to find a way to say, listen, I don't need two number twos. I need a two and a left guard that can fix my problem. And that's the trade that I'm trying to sell to John Dorsey. Alex Smith for Joel Bitonio and a two.
Well, if you make that trade, you're GM of the year. You're trading for what is, and I will back up and I will say that the QB position is by far the biggest and most important position in the NFL, bar none. So maybe the value added from that type of thing where it's actually the position of highest value, adds in that into that equation. But I really can't see that being a feasible thing. Maybe for a fourth and Joel Bitonio. It's still a trade I would consider because I think it really severely upgrades your offensive line, and that just helps your young QB even more. So I think the value's there, but I don't. I have a hard time believing Cleveland's going to want to move from somebody like that.
I have a hard time, too. I think it's all about fit, and I find it precarious that Bitonio was never mentioned in anything that I've heard since in his draft about being receiving any interest from the Chiefs. So I wonder if he's a guy that Dorsey didn't have a great grade on to begin with, and maybe he is somebody who he wants to move away from. Let me ask you this: if it were something that were in the works and they're negotiating, do you take a trade for Smith and Betonio and a fourth? Is that doable from the Chiefs' perspective? Does that get you enough?
I personally think it does, just because I think you're going to probably be spending one of those draft picks that you would get for Smith on improving the offensive line to begin with, or giving Mahomes more weapons of some sort. So yeah, I think it would be enough, but you know, I'm not the one making that call, and I guess that's lucky for everybody else, because I'm sure there are a lot of people that are not going to like that I would be okay with that trade, but I think it would greatly improve what the Chiefs could do on offense.
I have to think so as well. For me, I think a low level three, and I think I'm not sure all the Browns picks, but I know they have some in the bottom third of the third round, and I would be targeting that level of a trade. I don't know that I'd accept a fourth, because it is a quarterback, and you got to get something draft wise out of it.
Well, but even if it's a fourth round pick, if they're picking at the top of the first round, which I believe, or the top of every round, which I think they are, then you're basically getting a low level third, which is basically also the, or yeah, you're basically getting a low level third, which is also basically the first pick of the third day. That's a valuable pick.
That is. Resetting the board that night does afford you some advantages there. Here's the thing that I like about the concept, beyond just the fact that I think the player is a great fit for what the Chiefs want to do. And it would be on a contract that's already been signed. And here's the best part of it. He would still continue to make less money than LDT. And there's absolutely zero cap penalty for cutting him any year after 2018. So that gives you a guy that's an up-and-coming left guard, one who I feel can probably make the Pro Bowl, who's under contract until he's 30 years old, and you can cut him at any point if he doesn't pan out and reap zero penalty.
Hard to argue with that.
That's where it comes from. And it is arguably a long shot. I think that the most likely is that if it's John Dorsey, he probably agrees that he has to give up a second-round pick if there's no players involved. And if they continue to work with Dorsey, I think you can expect a second. And I think probably along your lines, I think a second and a fourth is about what John Dorsey's going to want to do. If they can squeeze a second and a third out of him, I think that'd be great. But I have a tendency to think that because of the positioning of those picks, that John Dorsey's not going to give up much more than that in picks.
I definitely agree with that. I don't think that that's going to be something they're going to want to do.
So that covers one of the major trade partners. We talked about the Jaguars. One thing I want to touch on, we don't have to go into depth of it yet because I haven't really reviewed the roster yet, but there's a new coach in Arizona, and they're waiting for really Larry Fitzgerald to decide whether he wants to return. It's one of those situations. I'm not sure if it's best for him or not, but do you think that that's something that you have to see fall before maybe the Arizona Cardinals are going to be willing to look at a trade?
I would think you would have to, but there's going to be several teams that we're not even going to think about at this point that could be in on this trade. So I'm trying not to figure out who it's going to be. I think that it's going to be done just because I don't think that there's any way that it doesn't get done. I think there's too much value for other teams in the NFL that don't have a QB that they believe in.
And that may be true. I come back to the thought that Steve Wilks is a defensive coach, first-time head coach, who doesn't have a veteran quarterback, who may be losing his Hall of Fame wide receiver. And he probably feels comfortable working on the defense. But I'm guessing he desperately wants a veteran at the quarterback position to try and manage those things.
Well, I say he is losing his Hall of Fame wide receiver. I don't think there's any way that Larry Fitzgerald comes back at this point. And obviously I've been wrong before and I could be wrong on this one. To see him come back after what he's been through with them, I just have a really hard time believing that. And I would, and don't get me wrong, I would love to be wrong. I love Larry Fitzgerald as a player, and I think he has done phenomenal things in this league. So it's nothing against him. I just don't know that he's going to want to start over at this point in his career.
And so does that make it even more important to get a veteran QB, or does it take some of that pressure off?
Well, I think the question really becomes, where do you think your team is? Because to me, you're not going to go out and make this move for Alex Smith unless you have a team that you think could compete for a Super Bowl next year.
Steve Keim seems to think so. They wanted him before he came to Kansas City. It makes me feel like with Johnson at the tailback position and a line that is at least solid, I don't think they have to rebuild it in any way. Maybe a piece here or there. It seems, again, like a team that is really just lacking a leader, and then maybe, obviously, a replacement for your wide receiver star.
Well, yeah, and I think that they're going to be able to do that. My whole point is I don't think you're going to see them going to a team that they think, you know, you're going to need 2 or 3 years before you're going to have a contender. And, you know, that goes back to, you know, we go back to talking about Cleveland. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I really don't think Cleveland is that far from competing. Now, whether or not they can compete for a Super Bowl, I don't think so. But I think they're a lot closer to competing for the division than people think they are, and the QB play really hampered what they were able to do.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't shock me.
Not much is going to shock me. I'm very interested to see who's going to step forward. And obviously we talked about the Cousins thing. And as that comes along, I saw a report today about how specific Cousins is in his research in terms of where he might want to land. And hopefully that narrows it and speeds the process up because, like you said yesterday, it may be a situation where it's a domino effect and we're in a waiting pattern. But I still think that these two teams, Cleveland and Arizona, are two of the other contenders along with Jacksonville. And we'll have to see if we get any rumors emerging on anybody else. But that's where we are with it today, folks. We appreciate your time. Hope you enjoyed the interview with Matt Miller. If you missed it, go back and check that out. It was Wednesday's show. A great time to be looking at this young talent, and Matt Miller knows it inside and out. So go back and check that one if you missed it. And we will be back with you tomorrow as well as next week. We'll get back with Seth. And we have another special surprise coming up for you. An executive from the NFL that we sat down with for a little bit. A great interview you guys are going to love. And some really interesting perspective on the Hunt family and this organization. So keep your ears peeled for that. And thanks for being with us today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTracyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.